Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. What's up, Corey?
First podcast from a new desk. I feel really official.
Nice. He's got a nice little setup now.
Nice.
Monitor, I just need a chair. The laptop, the mic. Yeah, you do need a chair, though.
But it feels good to feel like a really official podcaster right now.
Yeah, no, it's pretty dope. But as always, guys, you know, it is coming up on the trade deadline. We're running OTG's trade deadline marathon. So it's all trades again on the podcast. And you can check us out iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. But Corey, let's dive right into it. Starting off with day 7.1. If you want to listen to the previous days, that's on the last two shows. But this one is Ryan Wheeler. The Sacramento Kings are receiving Nikola Vucevic and Jonathan Simmons. The Orlando Magic receive Zach Randolph, Willie Cauley-Stein, Yogi Ferrell, and Justin Jackson.
Okay, so from the Kings' perspective, they're going all in on a playoff spot.
Yeah.
With this deal. This is a clear, like, we think we can make the playoffs. Why not go for it? We don't have our draft pick. I think Vucevic would probably flourish with a guy like De'Aaron Fox, like a true point guard like him to dish off to. Obviously, Vucevic has been, like, all-star level caliber. And you look at the Orlando perspective, I mean, they're getting two decent young pieces in Yogi Ferrell and Justin Jackson. I think Willie Cauley-Stein's a restricted free agent.
Correct. I believe so.
Right. So they would get his rights and they could honestly extend him. I don't know if they would, depending on how much value he has on the open market, but they get a point guard in Yogi who's serviceable. I don't think he's a starter in the league full time, but I think he's enough for them to kind of at least get some kind of valuable point guard play aside from DJ Augustine, who they might even move. Then Justin Jackson's a pretty young wing they can take a flyer on.
Oh, you like the trade?
Yeah, I do, Ashley.
Yeah, I think it's a solid trade. I think Orlando, I'm not sure if this is exactly what they're looking for, just because you mentioned Yogi Ferrell's serviceable. Like, I don't know if he's a guy that you're like, all right, we're going to bring him in. He's going to really help us win. Willie Cauley-Stein has been up and down all year. He is a nice piece, but like you said, he's a restricted free agent, so you have to decide if you want to keep him. Is that going to impact Mo Bamba? You know, that moving forward, I think Orlando might want to touch more, or they might be looking for another deal. Also, Orlando came off two pretty big wins this weekend where they beat Boston and Houston. So I think they're still looking for the playoff push unless they go on a bad stretch. I don't know if they trade Vucevic unless it's a better deal that allows them to kind of continue to compete.
I guess what I should say is I like this deal from the perspective of the Kings. Orlando's perspective, as you mentioned, with the recent wins they've had, even the value of Vucevic, they could surely get more than this, even if it was a draft pick or two added to a deal like this. Right. The Magic would probably want some more.
I feel like they might be asking at least for a pick in here or a different young player or a better young player, because like Vucevic is pretty good. Jonathan Simmons has 2 years on his deal, but the second year of the deal is partially guaranteed, so that's kind of cleans up some cap for them as well. So it's an okay deal. I think Orlando would probably have better offers for Vucevic if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Moving on to day 8, Evan Dial back at it again. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Lance Stephenson, Zubac, and I can definitely not pronounce his last name. The shooter on the Lakers. You're more than welcome.
Mile Kulik? Kylik?
That's a good try, but it's definitely not it. We need our guy, Zach Nobles, who nailed it last time he was on here. But the Magic would also receive a first and second round pick. The Lakers would get Vucevic and Terrence Ross.
Again, this one to me, a little bit farther off. I guess it's not as this probably trade makes more sense for the Magic than the last one. But again, I don't know if Orlando would want, you know, KCP, Stevenson, like those two guys. I just don't know. I mean, they're expiring, so I guess that could interest Orlando. Zubac's been solid, so I don't think they necessarily hate getting him. Like, I think he also has like a team option, I believe. And then, you know, the young guard and the name I can't pronounce would be a solid young piece. For the Lakers, it makes a lot of sense, obviously. Terrence Ross is having a career year. He can honestly be a nice athletic 3-and-D guy for them. The D is kind of questionable, but he is a decent offensive perimeter shooter. And then Vucevic, I mean, when LeBron comes back with how Lonzo's played as the playmaker with Rondo, Vucevic would probably thrive with all those playmakers.
Yeah, it's a great trade for the Lakers. Like we said, just with Orlando, it's really unsure if they're looking to kind of move their pieces and come out of the playoff race. There's been a lot of talk about them wanting to try to get into the playoffs, especially with the Steve Clifford hiring. So I think they would probably say no, but I don't think this is a terrible package because they are getting the first and second round pick. But I think in a deal like this, sometimes we mentioned this on the previous shows, you might look to do separate trades because you might be able to get a late first for Vucevic and a late first for Terrence Ross in a different trade.
That's a good point.
So I think it's solid. And a lot of these trades with the Magic, to be honest, before those wins against Boston and Houston, it was looking on the decline. They looked like they were going to drop out of the race. Those two wins kind of gave them a major boost moving forward.
Right. And not to mention, a couple of the other teams like the Hornets and Pistons, they've really been struggling as of late too, which is keeping Orlando alive.
Exactly. So they're still in the race. And obviously, you know, the weeks leading up to the trade deadline are going to determine a lot for these teams. But on to day 8.1, our guy Jack Manuel. Minnesota receives Kenneth Faried and Trevion Graham. Brooklyn receives Anthony Tolliver and Jared Bayless.
Let me know what you think about this trade first, since it's your squad.
I think this is a really good trade for the Nets. I think Minnesota may ask for like a second round pick in this situation. Anthony Tolliver is a really well-known guy around the league for being a great locker room presence. Also, he's a three-point shooter, and it would be a stretch four for the Nets that they really could use and help boost their playoff chances. So I think from the Nets side, they'd like it. Minnesota might be asking for a little bit more. Trevion Graham hasn't necessarily been great coming back from injury, but they could probably use a little bit of defense on the wing in Minnesota, obviously after allowing Philly to score 149 last night.
Oh, man. I mean, just to touch on last night, it felt like every single team that, like the one side, obviously, every team blew out the other team. And it feels like all those teams just got a good night's sleep and some Wheaties because it was ridiculous, some of the offensive outputs we had last night.
Yeah, teams just couldn't miss last night. It was like ridiculous percentages. And some of it was still solid defense or defense that was acceptable probably 2 years ago. But especially in that Warriors game where you had Steph, KD, and Klay just hitting threes all over the place, there's not really much you can really do. But
yeah, what are like you talking about? It's like they've won back-to-back titles almost.
Yeah, they're really good or something.
But so looking at this trade, I think for the Timberwolves, it doesn't hurt to add depth. Trevion Graham, I meant you guys were talking about him a lot on the last Broken Bus pod where you guys beat the Celtics. And kind of mentioning how, you know, he's kind of playing himself out of the rotation almost.
Yeah.
He hasn't been doing much. But who knows? Change of scenery could always help. The Timberwolves, with Covington missing some time, they could use a guy like Graham for some wing help. Kenneth Faried, I mean, the only game I saw Kenneth Faried play this year was a double-double against the Bucks. And I think he's serviceable. Obviously, the fact that he's pretty much a rim runner and can't do much outside of the paint area kind of hurts him a little bit because that's kind of what they have in Taj Gibson. But I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. And then for the Nets, you know, you get a veteran point guard. And then Anthony Tolliver, he's actually a really good role player, like a sleeper, a stretch four kind of guy.
Yeah, no, I think if they got Jared Bayless, they'd probably buy him out and bring up one of their two-way guys to a full-year contract. So I think if they had interest in Faried, it would make sense for Minnesota. But if they don't, you'd probably have to throw a second-round pick in there.
Yeah, I would think so.
Because it's not like any of the guys are high value, so I don't think a first would be necessary, but a second would probably make sense. And the Nets, I think, have a couple extra.
Really appreciate the trades like the trade like this. And I only want to say that because like we've been seeing a lot of trades with like big marquee names. Like this is just a nice bolster your bench kind of move that Jack came up with. I actually really like it.
Yeah, and actually this is from our guy, one of our Nets, you know, Nets Twitter guys over on Brooklyn Buzz and with Nets Daily and stuff, GNRY, who came up with this idea and pitched it to Jack, and then he kind of wrote it up. So shout out to him as well. On to day 8.2, and then you're talking about the crazy trades. I think some of the smaller trades are a little bit more realistic as well, where you're talking the big names. It's just less likely to happen. So Nick is coming up with some wild stuff, the mad scientist over here. Washington receives Eric Bledsoe, Thon Maker, DiVincenzo, Malcolm Brogdon, Milwaukee's 2023 first-round pick, Milwaukee's 2023 second-round pick, and Denver's 2019 second-round pick, protected 31 from 55. And then Milwaukee receives Bradley Beal.
God, I mean, I think we talked about this a little bit in Twitter DMs when it first came through.
I would swap right off the bat. I think that would make this deal maybe more realistic if you put in George Hill over Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah, you're giving up – the Bucks are giving up way too much talent for Bradley Beal.
And they're killing their point guards. Like, they would have just one point guard on the team. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And it would be George Hill. And, like, no offense to him, he's been injury-prone the last couple of years. He hasn't really performed great. So I think you want to keep one of your guys. I think they'd really want to keep Malcolm Brogdon. So maybe you could do the trade without including Brogdon, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think Brogdon would probably have to get done only because Bledsoe's expiring. And I think you can play Brogdon as, like, a two-guard complementary to a John Wall, who's probably going to be there forever. Whereas Bledsoe, I don't think him and Wall would mesh, even if you wanted to bring Bledsoe back, which they probably wouldn't because he's expiring. I mean, from Milwaukee's perspective, if you can add Bradley Beal, who since John Wall has gotten hurt, has been off the chain ridiculously good, keeping the Wizards kind of alive in this Eastern Conference playoff hunt because he's got shooting splits of, I don't even know, I think it's like 45 and 43 or something ridiculous. So I think for the Bucks' perspective, as you've mentioned, I think off the pod, this is, you know, this is a big three for them. Bradley Beal, Chris Middleton, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I mean, that's a, you know, that can match up with almost any big three star combination we have in the league. And from the Wizards' perspective, Thon Maker, you know, the verdict's out on what he's going to be. I know you're really high on him. I've kind of like wavered. His playoff Maker only shows up once a year. Vincenzo, solid guard. We'll see what he is. Brogdon would be like the steal for this trade, obviously. And as you mentioned, I think preferably and realistically, it'd be George Hill instead of Bledsoe. So then Milwaukee has more depth at the point guard position. But I mean, I think for Washington, this is a lot of talent they're getting back for Beal.
Yeah, they're at least getting players and solid players. And I think Thon Maker, there's still potential there. He just needs to continue to develop. And like you said, Brogdon's a solid piece. DiVincenzo, we don't really know yet. It's he's a rookie season. And I think maybe Milwaukee just removes all the second round picks. And I think the trade becomes a little bit more realistic. And like we said, we put George Hill in there instead of Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah.
And George Hill, I know, has another year of his contract, but he's another guy. His part of his contract is only partially guaranteed for the next season. So. But on to day 8.3, this is another a little low-key solid trade. Atlanta Hawks would receive Solomon Hill and Frank Jackson. New Orleans would receive Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Pelicans would love to get off of Solomon Hill. And then Frank Jackson, that's kind of – I'm not sure because I know Frank Jackson has had some really big games as of late. His issues on the defensive side of the ball, I know that I've seen Preston tweet a few times about Frank Jackson and his offensive pop off the bench. But granted, for a win now scenario in which it kind of feels like you got to start to win now just to keep Anthony Davis happy and keeping him, you know, saying that he wants to be in New Orleans long term. And Jeremy Lin could be that kind of six man point guard, adds a little bit more perimeter shooting than they have in Elfrid Payton. I think this is a pretty solid trade for the pieces moving.
Yeah, I know some Pelican fans have mentioned they wouldn't want to give up on Frank Jackson, which is understandable because he does have potential. But like you said, it's almost a win-now situation for New Orleans where they need to kind of get in the playoffs. And right now, things aren't looking too great. Elfrid Payton's been banged up this year, so that gives you a little bit more insurance. And Jeremy Lin, obviously not a great injury history from him. But you do also get off Solomon Hill's contract for next year, too.
Yeah, and that's the big win is because Solomon Hill off the books frees him up to at least try and do something in the offseason.
Exactly, and Lin's expiring, so and you could probably potentially bring him back if you wanted to, too. You know, I'm sure they'll be upset losing Frank Jackson, but sometimes you have to give up a young player if you want to compete now.
Yes.
So on to the next one, and we're at day 9. Jack Manuel back at it again. Chicago receives Brandon Knight, Houston's 2019 first-round pick. Houston receives Robin Lopez.
I mean, this is tough. I think for Chicago – It makes some sense, I guess, to get rid of Robin Lopez, but does Brandon Knight really fit into what you're trying to do? Not really. Houston obviously could use the help. You know, Clint Capella is now out for 4 to 6 weeks. You know, Chris Paul's still out. Eric Gordon's still out. Somehow James Harden is still willing this team to victories and honestly willing himself into the MVP conversation. And I have a hot take I'll say before we get off the pod on James Harden. But this is a decent trade to keep the Rockets at least somewhat afloat when they're dealing with all these injuries.
Yeah, and I think Robin Lopez even fits when Capella's back. He gives you a veteran big to come off the bench that can rebound, run the pick and roll with screens. You know, he's not a bad guy to have around. I think Brandon Knight does have 2 years on his contract. That'd be the only thing because Chicago has been known not to want to really go into next year's cap space, but they are pretty bad, so it might just make sense to get that extra first-round pick.
And I think Robin Lopez is kind of that – he's a tough guy too. I don't know necessarily. I mean, obviously, they got P.J. Tucker. I think he would also kind of fit in with this little chip they have on their shoulders, or at least they're trying to get back. I think Lopez could be a nice addition to that, too.
Yeah, I don't mind the trade at all. I think if Chicago is willing to take on more cap for this upcoming offseason and they don't care about their cap space anymore, it makes sense. They're getting a first-round pick, add another young player. You don't necessarily have to play Brandon Knight. You could buy him out if you really wanted to or something along those lines. All right, now this is – I couldn't even give this one a day because it was so crazy. So this is trade deadline crazy edition. And I don't know if you saw this trade
yet. I've seen it. Yeah. Cam.
So Phoenix, this is pretty much Phoenix swinging for the fences because of all the talk about them potentially moving. Phoenix receives Blake Griffin, John Wall, and Dwight Howard. Washington receives Ryan Anderson, Josh Jackson, Elia Kobo, and Detroit receives T.J. Warren and DeAndre Ayton.
Okay,
God
so
bless.
let's break
Dive in.
yeah let's look at this from we're going to go down the line. For the Suns' perspective, why not? I mean, honestly, you're getting John Wall, Devin Booker, and Blake Griffin to at least have as a big three. Dwight Howard, who knows what he's gonna be when he finally gets back on the court this year, if he gets back at all. Who knows
Or
what he
even if
has
he
left.
takes his player option, you might not even ever see him in a Phoenix uniform.
Right. But with that said, that's an interesting four to a degree. If Dwight Howard's, let's say, even despite all the injuries, like a 10 and 10 guy with Blake Griffin who's playing like he is now, a somewhat healthy John Wall facilitating, and then Devin Booker the scorer, that's an interesting team out west. I don't know how high they would get in the standings. I don't know how the chemistry works. There's a couple questionable locker room guys. But I think for Phoenix, like, why not swing for the fences if you can pull off a deal like that? For the Wizards, I don't think they're getting nearly enough, but I know they're getting rid of John Wall's contract, which is kind of the win for them. But it feels like they're just kind of getting hosed in this. And then the Pistons, you get a nice young piece in Ayton, which doesn't really make sense because you still have Andre Drummond then.
You'd have to
And
move Drummond in another deal, probably.
right. T.J. Warren, though, you know me, I've been pretty high on him. He's played well. I saw him again last night against the Pacers, and he felt like he was the only Sun that came to play last night in another blowout. But I think for the Suns, this is probably the biggest win.
Yeah, for the Suns, I think it makes you relevant again and for the first time since Steve Nash was there. So I think that's very important. But like you said, Washington probably, there has to probably be some picks sprinkled in here in some way. Probably Washington receiving something, not necessarily a high pick, but they are taking on Ryan Anderson's pretty bad contract. They are getting off the Wall contract, so that's a positive for them, and they can finally restart. And this gives them an actual opportunity to make it Bradley Beal's team, where that didn't look like it was a possibility with John Wall still being there, and there wasn't really many opportunities to move him. So they could look at it from that perspective. In Detroit, like you said, it would pretty much signal in Detroit that they're going to rebuild, which is kind of the opposite of what they've been saying they wanted to do because they have that new arena. I think it's like Little Caesars Arena, and they want to be more competitive. Trading Blake, who's been their best player, clearly, they would be in for some really bad seasons.
Yeah, it would be the Dark Ages.
At least Ayton, I guess, if they traded Drummond, they could, sell Ayton as like this young star they would have. So him with the potential to be better than Drummond ever was. So I think that maybe is a sell, but it would be obviously a crazy trade. This would have to happen at a bar with a couple drinks from each of the GMs. But on to day 9.1. This is an interesting one from Daniel Hofer. New York Knicks, Zach Randolph, Iman Shumpert, Kostas Koufos, Patrick Patterson, Diallo. OKC receives Courtney Lee and Noah Vonleh, Damian Dotson. Sacramento receives Enes Kanter, Alex Abrines, and Raymond Felton.
All right, so for the Knicks perspective, clearly they're going full tank mode.
Yeah, and they're clearing up a lot of cap space.
Right, they're clearing up cap space. They're making room to either get RJ Barrett or Zion Williamson, the two big names in this upcoming free, NBA draft class. And then for the Thunder's perspective, I don't hate it. I actually think they get more offense from this. Courtney Lee, we kind of mentioned this on one of the recent pods, or you did. He's kind of like an in-betweener, not a true 3-and-D guy, but he could definitely help them for what they desperately lack, which is some shooting. Dotson's been kind of a revelation for the Knicks, another guy who they didn't see becoming this valuable to their current status. Noah Vonleh kind of saved his career with the New York Knicks, so I think he would be a fine addition over Patrick Patterson. Even though you're missing some of the shooting, Noah Vonleh can shoot the three now, at least steadily. Patrick Patterson just lays tons of bricks. The Kings' perspective, sure, Kanter is a very serviceable backup center. Alex Abrines is probably the best piece they're getting in this deal long term, but he's expiring. And then, Felton, that's just a filler. I don't think anyone really wants Felton at this point.
Yeah, I don't think it's a terrible trade. Like you said, Sacramento gets Enes Kanter. Alex Abrines has been kind of inconsistent in OKC, so I don't think you depend on him. But Kanter gives them a major scoring boost off the bench. OKC gets a little bit of shooting and some more defense. Damian Dotson can shoot. Courtney Lee can shoot. Like you mentioned, Vonleh's been developing in that aspect, so they get more depth. The Knicks, Zach Randolph's probably going to be a buyout. Iman Shumpert back in New York, all expiring. Kostas Koufos expiring. Patrick Patterson at 2 years, 5.5, which isn't even a big deal. And Diallo has showed some promise. So maybe OKC. I'm unsure if OKC would want to move him, but getting some depth for a longer playoff run would make sense. So I think this is actually a really solid trade.
You know, this is definitely a fair trade. I think you can make a case that every team would be up to making this trade. And that's what I've been trying to base these on. Would all parties say yes in some fashion? I think this is probably one of the closer ones we've had.
Yeah, and I don't think you'd – and if you did, you know, mess around with the trade, I don't think you'd have to mess around a ton. It would just be minor things where, you know, maybe you're adding a second-round pick or a different player.
Right. So like, not, I could even see maybe, like, Trey Burke ending up in Sacramento and maybe not a Raymond Felton. Like, just a different guard perhaps even.
Yeah, see, yeah, just something small like that. No big pieces, but maybe a smaller player. On to day 10, which is today, Nick Boylan has – the New York Knicks receiving Ricky Rubio, Grayson Allen, Utah's 2019 first-round pick, Utah's 2023 second-round pick, and Utah receives Tim Hardaway Jr. and Trey Burke.
This is a really fun trade. I'm just seeing this now. I like this trade. Obviously, Utah's been stagnant. They're playing better as of late. Donovan Mitchell, since I said I wasn't impressed, has been impressing me. So thank you, Donovan Mitchell, for listening to the podcast. But Tim Hardaway Jr. would add some much needed scoring, a nice 3-and-D threat. Calvin Cambridge, aka Trey Burke, has been, you know, fantastic since the middle of last season to now.
He was drafted by Utah too as well.
Yeah, so obviously was he?
Yeah.
Oh no shit.
It was a long time ago.
He got traded to Washington shortly after, I think, right?
Yeah, and then he bounced around a bit and then he ended up with the Knicks G League team and now he's doing well with the Knicks.
Right. But obviously, like in this trade, the Jazz are getting two very decent offensive players, which is what they lack, losing some defense and playmaking in Rubio. But I think, you know, Donovan Mitchell has been kind of playing that point guard role for them. So I don't think you necessarily hate it. For the Jazz, I think it makes them better. For the Knicks, you know, again, you're getting rid of Hardaway Jr.'s contract and, you know, Trey Burke, you're probably not going to keep long-term anyways past this season. So I like this deal.
Yeah, I think you're getting good value for Hardaway and Burke if you get a first-round pick, too, and a second-round pick. You could probably scrap the second-round pick and just include the first, and I think the Knicks would still be happy. And Grayson Allen, obviously a rookie still, you know, has potential there. Ricky Rubio is a player they've had interest in over the past. Obviously, the regime is a little bit different there in New York, but he is expiring, so there's no commitment to him as well. And you're opening a big chunk of cap space by trading Tim Hardaway Jr., and you really could swing for the fences, and you could have a really nice offseason if you were to draft, you know, one of the big top dogs in the draft class. And then sign one of the big free agents too.
For sure. I mean, this is what everyone's prepping for. Then also, you know, I don't know how much this has been on any New York team's mind, but the recent comments and the recent struggle for the Celtics, you know, who knows? Kyrie Irving could be back on the market come June.
Yeah, I think at his latest game against the Nets where he didn't play, the Brooklyn Brigade, which is like their big fan section, was like, Kyrie's leaving. So that's always fun for them. But off the trade deadline, like we said, this will be ongoing up to the actual NBA trade deadline. So we'll be dropping a trade every single day. So be sure to check that out at otgbasketball.com. But Corey, we're going to dive in a little bit of the trade rumors that have been bouncing around out there. Latest one is a lot of people around the league think that Kemba Walker's staying, you know, set in Charlotte via the Ringer.
I mean, everything we've heard, everything that's been released from the team, you know, instead from Kemba himself, it doesn't seem like this relationship's going to end. It feels like he's just a loyal dude who wants to rock with the team he's been drafted by. Michael Jordan seems pretty adamant that he wants to keep his star player. And if that's the road that Kemba Walker wants to go down with the true possibility that he may never win a title, then I mean,
maybe never win a playoff series.
Right. Maybe not even make it the second round. Then I guess it makes some sort of sense for him. I mean, you know, loyalty is a strange thing in the NBA because the players at times have way more loyalty than teams, obviously. We saw that with DeRozan. We've seen that with Blake Griffin. I mean, it's not crazy to think that Kemba Walker could be extended and then traded in the future. But I think as of right now, yeah, we all have to kind of put on hold any type of deal involving Kemba Walker because it just doesn't seem likely.
Yeah, it seems like you would have to overpay for the deal. And you would not have a guarantee he's going to re-sign. So it just doesn't seem like Kemba's going to get moved unless he comes out and tells, you know, MJ, hey, I'm not going to sign this offseason. Please move me at the deadline because we're not even going to make the playoffs this year, which is a possibility. I think they're currently eighth, but they've been dealing with injuries.
And we're running out of time for that to be a scenario because, you know, we're, what, a month away from the deadline, basically?
Yeah, less than a month now. So It's obviously going to be something that comes together. And then obviously the biggest trade talk over the last, you know, few days has been Dennis Smith Jr. You know, there's been interest from a couple teams around the league. That whole incident that happened where he didn't go to practice, he was absent because of the trade rumor or something along those lines, and word from his agent hoping that, you know, Dennis Smith could find a place where he could fit and all this type of stuff. So things have got a little messy there. What are your thoughts on Dennis Smith Jr. and his potential leaving Dallas, which seems pretty likely right now?
Yeah, we'll talk about this in the next segment too. It's one of the obviously the big names I had to put on the next topic. But yeah, I mean, he's a young guy. He was sought out going into the draft. Obviously, the Mavs won and got Luka Doncic, and Dennis Smith Jr. just kind of doesn't fit. And it's just kind of how it goes. But the one thing in Dallas' favor is the fact that Dennis Smith Jr. is still a very young and I think going to be a very good point guard in the league. So they're going to get, I think, very good value for him. I think they're going to make a trade that ends up probably helping them make the playoffs in some kind of facet. And Dennis Smith Jr. we're probably going to see in a bigger role, and hopefully he takes another step forward. But this is definitely the most interesting player to come out, to become available on the market.
Yeah, I think the fact is almost Dallas's rebuild went faster than they expected. So Dennis Smith Jr. didn't really have an opportunity to continue to develop. And then Luka, you know, taking over the showdown there and being so amazing has kind of hurt his development in a sense. Not because, you know, they're not getting along or anything. Just he doesn't have as many touches and they're looking to win more now. So I think it does make sense for both parties to just kind of move on here because he's not really going to probably have the proper opportunity in Dallas to develop his skill set.
I'd agree with that.
On to another one via The Athletic. There's been some, like, I don't know what I'd call controversy, but it looks like Memphis is really stuck in a hard place because they should probably rebuild and try to move Conley and Gasol, but they're scared that they're going to lose attendance and, you know, they're going to lose their fan base because they're going to be such a bad team in a small market. So they're really stuck between trying to win now, but they really don't have the pieces to win now in the West.
Yeah, this was talked about on the Bill Simmons podcast in which he had Zach Lowe on, and they were talking about this same kind of scenario that, you know, Memphis really is in trouble. I mean, you know, what do you do when you have an aging center and an aging point guard? And the aging point guard is, you know, banged up a lot recently. You got Chandler Parsons locked up, which has a huge hold on already a small market cap. Your young guys, Dylan Brooks, has been kind of banged up. You know, this is a bad time for Memphis. And realistically, we've been on this, I think this same boat for a long time, probably since we started podcasting together. It's really, you just got to eat it. For Memphis, it makes sense to eat it. Whatever you can get for a guy like Gasol, you got to get rid of Gasol. I'm okay if you want to keep Connolly because he's a veteran point guard and that's kind of hard to find. But a guy like Gasol, I mean, he just doesn't look good now. I mean, he was hitting like career highs from shooting splits the first month, the month and a half of the season, and he's just dreadful now. He's slow. You know, I don't even know what the value is on him, but if you can get that money off the books, you're already going to be in a better position going forward because Mike Conley can still play at a decently high level.
It's a really hard situation because you almost need to trade them and try to get young pieces that are exciting. But Conley has pretty good value, I would say. His contract's still large, but and he's been banged up. But, like, I still think a team would really have interest in him because he is a two-way player. Like you said, Gasol has been really inconsistent over the last year and a half. And I think his trade value is all over the place, and you're probably not going to get proper value. And then fans are going to look at it like, we just traded him for nothing. So it's just a really, honestly, terrible situation for them. It's like, play out the season. Maybe you'll get lucky in the draft lottery and just miss out on the playoffs. But I don't really know what to do there because it is hard. And I think, you know, a lot of us always talk about from the basketball perspective, but I think you do have to think of the business perspective sometimes. Like, all right, we still do need to make money. We do still need to sell tickets. What are we going to do that? And if we trade these guys, we might lose, you know, 25% of our fan base for the next couple of years.
Right. I mean, it's a tough line. I think that's kind of what the Wizards are dealing with, too, to a standpoint.
Yeah, at least they have a little bit more youth on their side, which I guess is more positive.
And the players who are being paid big money, you know, besides Porter Jr., at least you can make somewhat a case for Wall and Beal on the money they make and how good they are. It's getting really hard to make a case for Gasol. Conley's kind of teetering, as you mentioned, because of injuries and stuff. And then Parsons, obviously, that is the most deadweight contract probably in the league as of right now.
Yeah, it's definitely not a good one. Just touching on one more thing, Atlanta, I cannot remember where this rumor came out from, but I did see it yesterday, that it looks like Atlanta's going to make Jeremy Lin, Dwayne Dedman, and Kent Bazemore all available before the deadline.
Nothing surprising to hear about any of that. I think those are three names we've mentioned numerous times in the pod.
They've been pretty popular in the trade deadline marathon, too.
Yeah. I mean, all three guys can play somewhat to a significant role on a team that's trying to, you know, get over the hump, whether that's a deeper playoff run. I don't think any team becomes contenders by adding those guys, but I think it definitely helps a number of teams in both the East and West if they were to be moved.
I think if you add two of the three, it could be like a huge bolster that could boost you up a category. You know what I mean?
If the Rockets could get like Dedmon and Ken Bazemore, that would be, I think, the kind of deal that would, you know, bolster a team probably closer to title contentions.
And it would be very interesting if Dedmon could continue to knock down threes, which we talked about in the last show. Like a pick and roll, a pick and pop with him and James Harden would be very, very tough to defend. And it's not like he's a bad defender inside. He can still block a couple shots. Talking about centers, Robin Lopez situation. The Bulls do not want to buy him out, and they're trying to hold out to get a draft pick for him. So that situation got a little tense. I know they had there was a little bit of a, I don't want to say a fight, but like I guess words were spoken between Robin Lopez and Chris Dunn at practice. So it looks like that situation probably has to get resolved sooner rather than later.
Can the Bulls not help themselves to not turn on each other?
I know, back-to-back years too. I mean, obviously, I think some of it too is like, you know, I'm sure there's fights at practice all the time, but the teams don't allow it to be leaked.
Right. I mean, yeah, this has been, you know, one of the most probably one of the top five dysfunctional franchises in the last, 5 years. Yeah.
I mean, they with the situation with Jimmy Butler, Jimmy's our guy, we're going to keep him. And then all of a sudden you trade him to Minnesota like a month or two later.
Yeah. So. Signing Wade Rondo, hiring Hoiberg, firing Hoiberg, Portis and Miracek exchanging blows, the players not wanting to play for Bolin. Yeah, it's been a shit show in Chicago.
Yeah, so that's definitely not really an exciting. Hopefully, Robin can end up on one of these good teams, like we mentioned, Houston to trade deadline marathon. Obviously, he wants to go to Golden State, I think, but it's going to be working around the contract and whatnot. But Corey, I'm gonna pass it to you for the last segment.
Okay, so the last segment is a little game of how likely is this trade to happen, or not trade? How likely is this player to be traded? It's very likely, likely, not likely. First up, Dennis Smith Jr.
Dennis Smith Jr., I think it is very likely because of the stuff we just mentioned, just because there already is some tension there. He missed practice. His agents already come out and spoke about it. And Dallas, I think, wants to add a piece to try to compete a little bit more for the playoffs this year. So I think it's very likely.
I'm saying very likely, too, because he's a young prospect, a young asset, hasn't been hurt. So I think that makes him an even bigger commodity, especially when, as we've talked about numerous times, the point guard position is so crucial in the NBA. And there's a handful, if not more, teams that desperately need a point guard.
And he's a young point guard, too. And it's like for a bad team that has a couple good players, taking a flyer on a guy like this makes a lot of sense. You know, there's been a lot of teams mentioned that have interest. I think Phoenix, New York, Orlando, Detroit, just a ton of teams. I think there's even more than I just listed. I know one of our guys is working on some trades over at OTG, too, to pop up soon.
Yeah, I really think Orlando makes some sense because of how young they would be. A core of Dennis Smith Jr., Aaron Gordon, Mo Bamba, Jonathan Isaac. That could be a really fun, you know, youth core.
Yeah, and it kind of fits the same timeline too, which is important.
Yes. Next up, DeAndre Jordan. It came out today that the Mavericks will likely not extend him to a multi-year deal. How likely is it that DeAndre Jordan ends up being traded?
I would say not very likely unless they're able to receive a center back in the trade for Dennis Smith Jr. because they just need him on the squad if they want to compete this year. You know what I mean? He hasn't been great, but he's still been a starting center.
Yeah. I know he had some kind of stretch for like double doubles this year. He broke one of his stretches for like 16 straight games with a double double. So yeah, you know, not as he once was in Lob City, but still very serviceable. Jeremy Lin.
This is like almost between very likely and likely. I think I would probably lean more towards very likely because if he's not traded, I would assume he'd probably be bought out. So it's very likely he's not on the Hawks come playoff time because he can bring value to a playoff team.
Yeah, I'm saying very likely too. I just think, you know, the veteran point guard, backup point guard.
Combo guard, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, you can play the one or the two. He has some perimeter shooting, the defense is whatever, but you're getting him for the playmaking and the three-point shooting. Next up, Wesley Matthews, three Dallas Mavericks. Wesley Matthews.
Not very likely in my eyes. I just don't see how anyone's really interested in taking him unless he's part of a salary filler in a trade for Dennis Smith Jr. Like, I just don't think anyone's like, oh, I want to add Wesley Matthews.
See, I put likely. And I put likely only because, you know, there was buzz around him last year. Obviously, I think he's having a worse year than he had last year. He's expiring. And I just think some team who really needs 3 and D will just take a flyer. You know, obviously they're going to have to match contracts, and he's getting paid what, like 17 or 18 million, something stupid.
Yeah, that's what I think makes it a lot harder. It'd almost be more likely if he was bought out if they really wanted to get rid of him. But I don't think, I think last year they're asking a first round pick. I'm sure they're at least asking a second, and now you have to match salary. So yeah. I think it just, it's like a little bit more complicated to make a trade for him.
Definitely. I wouldn't be surprised if he's involved in like the Dennis Smith Jr. trade. You know, maybe yeah. if Orlando got involved or whatever, like a Terrence Ross gets brought to Dallas in terms for Wesley Matthews or something like that. Next up, Dion Waiters, who recently said he wants some more mother effing playing time.
I would have to double check his salary, but I do not think it's very good.
$15 million a year, I believe. 15 or 14.
And then how many years do you know?
I think he's got 2 years left. I'll double check the years.
Yeah, that's very unlikely he's traded. Nobody really wants that contract. And especially if you're saying things like that in the media, and Dion is not the type of player that's like, oh, I need to trade him. He's going to make me a contender. So I think very unlikely.
Ooh, actually not making as much money as I thought. He's only making $11.5 million this year. And then next year it's $12 million. The year after it's $12.5 million. But he is signed through 2020, 2021.
Yeah, I take a pass on that. I mean, unless somebody got desperate, I just don't really think that he's the type of player you want around if he's already complaining. He's just recently got back from injury and he's complaining about minutes.
Yeah, I'm actually leaning towards likely, because I just think he might be a part of a somewhat bigger deal Miami has, because I still don't know what Miami's doing. Obviously, it feels like they're going to try and make the playoffs. And they're going to give Wade like the last chance to give some sort of first-round magic. But this team is kind of guard jammed. Goran Dragic is going to return at some point. So maybe it's not him that gets traded, but I definitely think this team will make a move. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's Waiters, who, as you mentioned, he is already complaining. But I think his kind of scoring ability off the bench, I think somebody could use in the NBA.
Yeah, it's just about, do you want the baggage?
Right. And that's obviously the toughest issue. Next up, a guy who has somewhat baggage of not playing defense, Jabari Parker.
Yeah. I would say likely, because I think that they'll end up trying to move the contract and somebody might take a flyer on him, or he could be a part of a three-way trade because of his expiring contract. So I think it is likely that he's moved. It's just about finding that right deal. I don't know if anybody actually truly has interest in him, or if it's just a contract having the team option on the second year. So that's $20 million off your books in this offseason.
Right. I put not likely, only because it's tough, because I watched him play last night a little bit against the Lakers. He got some run time, and I don't know.
Nice poster in that. What was it? The first quarter.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's still something there, I think, offensively, but I just don't see any team that's going to be like, all right, yeah, for $20 million, even though the second year is a team option, we'll take the risk on you. I just don't see a team that's interested right now. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just don't see it.
I like the idea that I think one of our writers, I think it might have been Dalton, who brought up like Jabari to the Knicks when they send out Enes Kanter. But I think there has to be like a third team involved, because I don't think the Bulls really want Kanter. Right. So I think like to New York makes sense. They could take a flyer on him and see if it works out, and then they clear up some cap space. But other than that, like, I'm not sure anybody's really interested in him as a player.
I'd agree with that, especially after all the defensive comments. Next up, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
That seems pretty likely. Not very likely, but likely. I think you look at it, you know, the Lakers have been, talking about moving him for months now. And I don't know what he really adds to a team, but I think in a part of a deal, the Lakers are almost guaranteed to make some type of trade at the deadline. So he could just be a salary filler at the worst.
Yeah, I put likely too, only because he's in every rumor. So it feels like he just has to be kind of likely.
A change of scenery could help him too, probably.
Right. I mean, I watched him last night, man, and I just don't think he helps a team go next level. I just the amount of shot. I mean, he catches and shoots everything he catches, but they just don't go in. They just don't fall. But there's definitely a team out there that I think will at least take a flyer. As you mentioned, a change of scenery in the NBA is at times crucial.
Yeah, no, definitely. And maybe just that environment hasn't worked out for him, so.
Next up, I think we're both going to side on, very likely, Ken Bazemore.
Yeah, I think it's probably very likely. I could change my mind to likely on this one, because it is a larger contract. There's a second year involved, and he's not super old, so it wouldn't be the worst thing if Atlanta kept him. But I think he probably ends up traded, because a lot of teams have been talking about trying to acquire him since last season.
I would agree. Now, my guy, TJ Warren.
This is tough. I'd say not very likely, just because he has like a couple years on that contract, and I don't know if like the Suns are really like looking to move him. I don't know what the Suns are really even trying to do, to be honest.
I'm gonna say likely. I'm gonna say likely. I think you can get some sort of asset back. Maybe not like anything killer, but you can maybe get a second round draft pick or a late first for him. So I think some team that's looking to contend or looking to get into the bigger playoff picture, they could use his kind of offense off the bench, or whether or not they put him in starting rotation is a different story. But I think it's somewhat likely, only because the wing position, as we know, is crucial. And I don't know. I just have a feeling. I don't know.
I mean, it's not like out of the world. I mean, it's something that we could probably see. So who else you got, Corey?
This is the last one I got. Bradley Beal.
I'd say not likely. Just because I think I was higher on moving him earlier, like a couple months ago, where I thought he really was going to get moved. But he's been playing so well, and Washington's been just doing enough to like hang around the playoff race. I don't think they make it, but they've been doing enough to make them think like, oh, maybe we could sneak in there. And I think like it just probably makes more sense to trade him in the offseason around the draft time.
I would agree with that. I can throw up a couple more. I'm just thinking at the top of my head. Amon Shumpert.
Not likely. There's no push to move him. He's an expiring contract. I don't know if anyone's like really trying to get him. And the Kings, if they don't have to mess up what they're doing, they're not going to mess it up.
It's funny because like I had likely down, but the other day he got in that confrontation with Nurchik, I think.
Yeah.
And it really, and we've mentioned this before, it really feels like Shumpert has become like a vet on that team. Like he's actually like, I think, crucial to their locker room success. So I think you're right on not likely. But at the same time, I think it's somewhat likely because of how good he's playing. I wouldn't be surprised if a team, you know, say the Kings kind of hover in the next month between, you know, the 10 and 12 seed, and it's going to become clear they're not going to make the playoffs. Maybe they do dish him off to a team.
Yeah. I mean, I think it depends. If they were to go downhill and they're like, oh, we're not going to make the playoffs, we're just going to play all the young kids consistently and we don't care. But I think they do want to make the playoffs because they don't have their pick.
Right. No, you're right. I mean, obviously, you don't have your pick. You want to. Whoever has your pick, you want to screw over as best you can.
Exactly.
Next up, from your squad, Damari Carroll.
I would say not likely. Just because of his leadership and veteran presence for the team, the Nets want to make the playoffs, and his relationship with a lot of players and coaches on the team, you would have to give Sean Marks an offer that he really likes to move him.
Right. I actually went with not likely, too, only because, as you mentioned, I mean, the Nets are – probably one of the hottest teams still in basketball.
I think over the last 18 games, they either have the best record or the second best record.
Right. So you don't fix what's not broken. And that's exactly what the Nets are right now. And as we mentioned, their best player, Caris LeVert, is still not even on the floor yet. Last up, Evan Fournier from the Orlando Magic.
I would probably say not likely just because he has another year on his contract. And also, like we talked about, Orlando is probably thinking they can make the playoffs. So they're going to stay in the hunt unless they drop off like a 3 or 4 game losing streak over the next week or two.
Yeah, I said not likely too. I don't think there's much interest because they have been winning, even though I think he's a guy, another guy I think we'll be getting phone calls about at the deadline.
Yeah, or, you know, he's another guy that could be a candidate to move in the offseason. A lot of people are going to have cap space. Maybe Orlando doesn't really care for him too much. They want to get a young guy, or they want to open up space themselves. So I think that's something to consider. But that wraps it up. Like we mentioned, head to OTG for all the trade deadline marathon stuff. Always a pleasure, Corey. And always thank everybody for listening. Check us out, iTunes, Box Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube.
Peace out, knuckleheads.